Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The music industry can be a hyper-competitive place, but local musicians Kaylee Conway and Marielle Allschwang are proof it can also be a place that breeds creative friendships.
Although the two musicians perform with different groups, they share a sense of camaraderie and a desire to create and explore. That's perhaps best exemplified by Conway lending her own guitar to Allschwang partway through their conversation in the Lake Effect Performance Studio.
The two performers not only shared a guitar, but will share a double bill this Friday at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point, and they joined Lake Effect Joy Powers in studio recently to share some music with us. This is Kaylee Conway with her song, As Long As It's a Secret.
Everywhere I go, I will bring him for me long. Well, as long as it's a secret, as long as it's a secret. A sudden, for some reason, quit.
As long as it's a secret from Kaylee Conway. She is here live in the Lake Effect studio along with Marielle Allschwang or Allschwang.
Yeah, go for it. Allschwang, let's do it.
All right. Thank you both so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having us.
At the same time, that was good.
Jinx, you can't speak for the rest of the interview.
So this is kind of a pared down set for you guys. You guys are more used to playing with at least a few other folks and electric guitars, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely started on acoustic, and electric has been more of a transition that I've been going through lately. But I have always kind of consistently played inconsistently with a group. So it's not really anything new for me to like have an acoustic rendition and sit here by myself and play. Although I've never done a radio performance by myself before.
Oh.
Yeah. First time. Yes and no. Yes.
Yeah, same here. First radio solo iteration. But this is where it all starts. I'll be playing the guitar that I wrote this song on.
That's one of the songs on.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. So you're both Milwaukee-based musicians, and it is a smaller city with a more intimate community of musicians. You know, what do you like about working in a city like Milwaukee? And you know, what would you change if you could?
Great question.
Yeah.
I like feeling as though I've built relationships with, like, almost everyone, kind of. I know there's still a lot of people and styles of music to yet explore, but so I've been playing out in Milwaukee for probably like 8 or 9 years or something, and you know, it's taken about that long, but now I feel like I know everyone, if that gives you any scope. And I'm sure in a bigger city there would still be like a lot of different scenes and pockets that like are further than 6 degrees separate from me and what I do, but it's not uncommon to have someone in your band who's in another band, or in a band with someone who's in a band that's music that you would never otherwise have listened to.
Mm-hmm. I think music is a huge reason I'm still here. I'm from Milwaukee originally, and I came back as a sort of newly committed musician. I left to study art, and I came back after writing some songs and started playing them out. And then I met some folks from the band group of the Altos, which was at that time like a 12-piece and expanded into like a 19-piece. But that's where I met everybody that I play in bands with now, pretty much. And just in that one pocket, I guess, everybody has so many treasures to share that you can contribute to or explore with them. And I think in addition to that, from my experience, Milwaukee is unique in that there's a sort of like a protective umbrella of like self-assurance or like a permission to experiment or really speak from your own voice that I think is really unique to hear. And like I said, my experience with that band and the bands I've been in since and the projects that I've been a part of since, and also El Verno Presents, which doesn't exist anymore, but there was just a Guthrie Uncovered show, and those Uncovered shows came from El Verno Presents, but that was also very unique to Milwaukee and very unique to, I think, the national landscape of the performing arts. They presented all these sort of specially curated shows, things that you kind of couldn't see anywhere else, but you had a chance to really fail with something, some crazy idea that you had. Not crazy, usually brilliant, but but you know, there's not a lot of places where you give yourself permission to be that wildly experimental, I think. And then you get to do it with people that you love and have known forever.
With that idea of space for exploration, how do you think your sound has changed as you've been playing in Milwaukee with different groups, with different people, exploring maybe different instruments?
A lot. And I would say that a lot of that has to do with what Marielle was saying about, yeah, Milwaukee, I think, does kind of embrace experimental sounds. It's not necessarily like a race to hit the mainstream charts, at least not in my experience, but my style and compositions have changed so much by being exposed to the people who I've been fortunate enough to play with, whether in my own project or things that I've been involved in. And kind of the switch over to electric guitar has led my compositions in much more experimental directions, because I realize there's a lot more that I can do with my instrument and more sounds I can contribute to the pieces, but they're not necessarily in the conventional, like, I'm going to play blues chords and then a solo in this one section. So, yes, feeling facilitated in playing electric guitar and by bandmates who play, you know, arguably much more experimental music than I do has allowed me to branch out a lot from, you know, when I started, I was pretty comfortable within, like, just a folk realm, playing chords and hoping that other people would really make my music what it needed to be, like, for me. And now I feel like I can do more of that myself, but I have to use more of the experimental voice that I have, because otherwise the self-expression is diluted somewhat.
Nice. What was the question again?
I'm sorry.
No, no worries. You know, I have another question for you. You have, you kind of branched out into music videos with your piece Aquarium, which was featured at last year's Milwaukee Film Festival. What does the visual element, the video part, add to the experience of your music that it might not have had without that?
I think it's just another language to enhance or complicate or like sort of draw out the nuances of something that a thought or a series of thoughts you had, you know, that you maybe didn't even know how to translate except through that set of words and through that melody. So, you know, after some time, Heather, who directed the video, we got together and she had certain ideas having to do with cinemagraph techniques and certain images. And so I knew right away that they would resonate with this song and the lyrics and the pacing of it. But the really cool thing is, and I don't know if this happens all the time, it was just kind of this serendipitous stroke of synergy. I don't know.
Synergy.
But yeah, it was a really amazing opportunity to create something that could delve even deeper into those ideas. It's a visual language and a language of time.
Marielle, so what's interesting, when I was looking through your stuff, you've really embraced legacy recording mediums. Dead Not Done came out on cassette, came out on vinyl.
Same album.
Same album.
Iterations. Once the cassettes were sold out, it was only digital. I wanted that baby on vinyl.
On vinyl, yeah.
I'm trying to think of a cool wax. Cool. On wax, that's the word wax. I was looking for.
That is cool.
Moments lost. Yeah, sorry.
What do you find compelling about these vintage mediums? What is it about them?
I think they all have a different texture. Maybe that can be recreated digitally now, but as someone who thrives off of textural experiences, I like the tactility. And why not have a beautiful object? I don't know. I'm not a big digital music listener. I have to admit, also since my computer crashed, I have pretty much two albums to my name. So, but the cassette iteration of the album was also partly a coincidence of having it released on Gloss Records, which is really into, I don't know if they do anymore, but they usually put out albums on cassette tape first. And then after that, I had a chance to put it out on vinyl and like really do all the things that I always wanted to do for putting on an album. So yeah, that's kind of why everything I've ever listened to also has been on vinyl. Like when you're a kid, Kaylee's looking at me like, yeah.
It seems like you don't have physical copies of your albums.
Right now, I don't. I've always done disc, but I've only released two physical things. There's an EP and a full length, both that I did with my old band, the Lucy Cukes. And I'm sold out of both of them as of pretty recently. And I would love to press vinyl, but I'm not going to make that my first priority until there's like a clear kind of business reason to do it, or that like if it seems like the investment is going to make a return, because at this point nothing that I've ever really put money down for musically has come back to me in full. Okay. So I'm trying to be very conscious of that going forward, and it's hard for me not to feel a little lost, you know, like I don't have any merch right now, but am I going to spend the money to get CDs pressed? Because now CDs are really going out of vogue, and, you know, cars and computers aren't being made with CD players. So it's more like a big, inconvenient business card to give someone. But then if you try to transfer your digital merchandise to them, it's a lot more talking in words, like, oh, go to this website, or I'll send you a link. And I don't know who is downloading stuff from Bandcamp. I don't think that's a huge thing. So I've just recently started doing streaming, which I don't really know how I feel about that. But it's very the opposite of what you were saying, Marielle, about like being very loyal to the more vintage listening mediums.
Yeah, and it's not even really loyalty to the medium. It's more going back to what I was saying with music videos, for instance. It was kind of more an opportunity to be more intentional and specific about what kinds of conversations you want to have between different images and words and colors. And that's something that I didn't really have an opportunity to really play up yet. And for this album especially, it felt meaningful to me. But yeah, for sure, like if it wasn't something that I felt would enhance or communicate something from me, then I don't think I would have bothered just to have an object out in the world.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about tape and vinyl is that people do intentionally collect that stuff. So you can not only have an extension of your expression through the art that you put on it and how you arrange it, but like it's going to transfer to someone who actually really wants it.
Well, and with kind of intentional listening, I saw your Instagram post, because being a producer is essentially being like a Facebook stalker, but you get paid. And I saw your Instagram post, and you specifically said you posted a photo of your Spotify account.
Yeah.
And you said, like, don't shuffle. Please don't shuffle.
Yeah.
I've heard this before from artists. Why do you hate the shuffle?
I really hate the shuffle. I do. And I hate it because, you know, I think any musician who's composed an album will tell you that, like, the flow of it is so important, like, to them. You know, it's, like, as important as choosing what picture is going to go on it or doing the art for it or the song titles. And the stuff I've released hasn't been very tightly conceptual as far as, like, the range of concept albums go. So it's not like you're really going to get lost in a narrative. But it's, you know, we do so much to make things super easy on the listener and convenient, and I think it's often at the artist's expense, you know, whether it's a streaming service or just like cheap, easy lyrics or whatever. So I think it's really important to like stand firm, hold your ground as an artist with kind of what you're saying and how you're saying it. And the more people who can get privy to that, the better, I think. Also, the way I've always listened to albums has been a very album-by-album experience, and those song sequences have become really special and kind of ingrained in me. And when I hear one end, I'm kind of, like, ready to dive into the next one. I think it's really important for the end song to be the end song, or even if it's going to be on repeat, for the end to kind of lead back into the first one. I also just felt it necessary to mention the shuffle thing because, like, the screenshot that I posted had a giant shuffle button because that's the first thing that Spotify tells you to do. You know, I think they know their listeners really well. They know the attention span, so they feed them the most popular track, and they say, go ahead, shuffle, don't think about it.
On the thought of kind of concept albums, Marielle, you're working on a song cycle, is that right?
That's correct, Joy. Yeah, I'm writing songs in response to the artist environment of Mary Knoll. Her environment is still in Fox Point. Many of you listening may be familiar with her work, and if you're not, I do encourage you to check it out. So I'm really excited about that.
Kaylee, what do you have coming up?
Well, I am in the kind of mixing stages of an EP that I recorded with my trio at a good friend's studio called The Chair Company in Bayview. And I mean, like anything, and I knew it would, it's just taken a lot longer than like the time frame that I had budgeted for it. But I'm really excited about it because it's a batch of new songs, and I feel like I really got to like cut loose on the guitar. It's mainly an electric guitar album. Parts of it get decently rocky, and then there's also like a lot of weirdness that goes on, and I just felt really like able to put it all out on the table, and I'm very excited about it. Should come out within the next couple months.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing it.
Thanks.
So we have one more song from Marielle, Drifting.
Yep.
Drifting, drifting, reading the road, drawing lacing lines.
Kaylee Conway and Marielle Allschwang are both Milwaukee-based musicians. They'll both be featured in a performance at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point tomorrow. There's more information at WUWM.com, and our interview was engineered by Jason Reavy.
Tracing, tracing features fair. Born in light and time. All my breath was pulled into your skin and words so kind. All the bitter
season turned, torn, terrified. Evening swarmed into the town, so we forced the darkness down, throwing hands and nets and gowns, throwing